This is Narcs, you're listening to Alt Rock Repeat.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Do you know what this is?
Alt Rock Repeat! Alt Rock Repeat! Alt Rock Repeat!
So, Adam, I am thoroughly excited today.
Why are you excited,
Kieran? I'm thoroughly excited for several reasons. It's sunny outside.
It is sunny. It's been very warm today.
Which makes a change, do you know what I mean? But more than that, we have some guests in our studio today, don't we?
We do have some guests today.
This is our debut. Our debut with some lovely, lovely guests.
Yeah, they're Leeds-based alt rockers, Narcs. Do you want to introduce yourself, guys?
Hi there, I'm John. I'm the bassist in Narcs.
Hello, I am Wilco. I am the singer and guitarist.
Sweet.
Hola, young fellows. Thank you for joining us today. How are you both doing, man?
Yeah, good.
Excellent news.
Yeah, like you said, it's sunny.
It makes a difference. I don't know
Everyone's happier when it's sunny.
You know, people just, you know, any excuse for the British public to put on shorts, they will. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So in Manchester, which was colder than here, people wearing shorts.
I don't know about you. I'm wearing black.
It's always raining in Manchester, right?
It's always raining in Manchester, man.
Day. Wrong side of the Pennines.
Apparently so, but I didn't realise this until I actually lived there, that it is always raining, and I can't tolerate that, man. But it's alright, we're in Leeds today, so it's all good.
It's a glorious day, yeah.
So a bit of news this week we're going to chat about with the lads.
Yeah, there's something that I'm very happy about.
Go on.
Kanye West being sued by a fan. Have you all heard this?
A little bit, but go on, elaborate.
Well, you know how he tweeted. What did he tweet? He said, "My album will never, never be on Apple, and it will never be for sale. You can only get it on Tidal." So 2 million people flocked to Tidal, signed up, gave all their info, and then he put it out on Apple and Spotify and sold it on his site, and now he's being sued. Amazing.
It's a dirty move.
It is a filthy
move. He's a dirty bloke.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He doesn't help himself, does he? Do you know what I mean? He seems to just chat shit all day long.
I've told you before, he's mentally ill. That's all it is. Yeah.
But like Wilco was saying before, like, I've kind of like tuned out of him now because it's just.
I'm resigned to the fact he's a prick.
Yeah.
So I'm not really.
That's just a given now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not really. Apart from maybe a couple of songs, I'm not really arsed about his music, so I'll just stay away from it.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you. But. Because he's obviously.
But that is a dickish move. Like, even by his standards, that's pretty extraordinary.
But he wouldn't see it that way, would he? Somehow he would turn it round to, like, we were. You know, he'll make it into something else. He's just a fucking. There's something actually wrong
with
him.
He's a lunatic.
Did anybody see. I think there was a video from Coachella this weekend. And it was Kanye West having a foot race with.
Foot race?
Yeah. Tyler the Creator.
Really?
But it was, like, backstage Coachella. And they got like security guards like cording the whole like area off, and they did a sprint for like 3 meters, but there's like 50 people watching, all cheering, filming, as if it was like the best thing I've ever seen.
Fucking hell!
This is what it's got to, man. You know what I mean? If this is what we're talking about, he
provides very good soap material for us, though, doesn't he?
He does. But to be fair, I mean, he's like, regardless of what everyone thinks of him, he is like an international star. So
for some reason,
And I want them to be kind of one in the spectrum. I either want them to be like your average Joe, someone you would like, literally someone who could be your next door neighbour, or a fucking mentalist. So I'm kind of happy that he's a bit mad.
We're talking about his album, he's
a dickish move, but he is mad and he's entertaining.
He is mad, but the thing is, because he's kind of invested into Tidal, hasn't he, with Jay-Z? So that was his kind of like, I think he sort of said something like, he wants people to sign up to Tidal for that reason, and now he's done this obviously because it didn't get that many streams.
Flopped.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Tidal has, I think, because you've got Spotify and Apple Music, which are just dominating. I still think Spotify's number one in the world, so Tidal are never going to catch up. So that's, but it is a shit move on his part. Do you know what I mean? But I like that he's a lunatic though.
We could rattle on about Kanye for ages, couldn't we? There's one more thing that's kind of relevant to you guys I want to ask before we move on to more interesting things. This, have you seen the YouTube 360 live stream thing they've just brought out for Coachella 2016?
No, I haven't.
So basically they are making it so you can immerse yourself in a gig from your bedroom.
From the crowd.
Using that 360 thing where you can like turn around?
And they're also doing this thing called spatial audio where the audio changes as you go around.
Oh, right.
Amazing.
As a band though, how do you feel about that? Because... it might turn people into wanting to stay in their bedroom and watch a gig rather than paying all that money to go actually see the gig.
If that would, if something like that would make you want to stay in a room more than go to watch a gig, then I wouldn't really want you at a gig.
That's a very good point.
Boom.
Yeah.
That was a very good point.
Best thing I've ever heard.
But I do worry about it with the kids growing up these days.
Yeah, but I mean,
sounding really old there.
If I was to sort of like could afford to go to Coachella or whatever you like that, I would do. But exactly. If I'm sort of sat in England and it's going to cost me like a grand just to kind of get over there and get back and watch the festival and do all that, and then I get the option to like sort of, then I like watch it in my room, that's pretty cool.
So it's like a nice little bonus. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point. I never thought about it like that.
No one would turn down the opportunity to go to Coachella, do you know what I mean? Like if you could afford it, you would go as a fan or as a musician.
Yeah.
But I think you're right though, I'm with you on that. We're saying that if the opportunity was there to watch it, go with it, man, do you know what I mean? But as you said, I like your comment saying if you'd rather watch it from your bedroom, I don't want you at my show.
I'll
be the same.
Well, I've never seen the appeal of like live albums really.
Yeah,
you're kind of missing out some elements of it. It's not just about what you hear, is it? It's like being in the crowd and like seeing it, and like listening to live albums, especially those ones from like 70s and 80s and 90s. Well, even now with like the fake kind of crowd noise,
yeah,
all the cheering and playing songs. It's just, I don't see the point in it at all.
I think it's just fillers. I think they are. Do you know what I mean? I think bands just do it for a bit of, they've got a contractual obligation or something. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't see the as you said, like the sort of like real experience you get from it, because you can't.
No, and every gig's going to be slightly different. Nobody's going to play the same set like note for note other every time. So
definitely not, man. Definitely not. Yeah, it's a good point actually. Yeah.
But so the main reason why you guys are here. So you released a song in February called Pig, whilst you're on tour. How did that go? You get the kind of reception you wanted with the new song?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, today's reception was good.
What?
Today's reception to people.
Oh, yeah, aye. YouTube.
What happened to
you? Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that later on. It's fucking brilliant.
Someone's just commented on like the video. Like it's been up for probably a couple of months on it now.
Aye.
And it's got like a... like
it's about 3,000?
About 3,000 views, something like that. Which is like, it's alright, but like it's kind of... But no one's commented for a while, and someone just commented on it yesterday with the name Narcs for Days.
That's what confused me, because I was like,
Narcs for Days, the Zed.
Did you say this, or did someone else say this? I was kind of like, what the fuck's going on
weird,
here?
So like, and they just commented basically underneath the video saying, what did it say? Sounds like Justin Bieber.
Sounds
like Justin Bieber hitting puberty.
Sucking dumpster
dick.
Dumpster dick.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best. We're going to like...
You should do a video.
Make t-shirts. You know what I mean?
Like, if that's a genuine troll or someone we've pissed off in the past, that we are going to use that tagline on everything.
You should make a video. Thanking him for that amazing comment.
I think Joe commented already on it, so I'm just thanking him for that.
Who wrote back? Because
Cummins did, I think.
Cummins wrote back.
Right, sweet. Because I was like, that's the best way to deal with this is just, embrace it, man. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking brilliant.
That was good. It was like,
like, we're not down with the kids, so at first, like, half of us, like, we weren't sure if it was like a compliment or if it was just like a troll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way I took it is like, if Justin Bieber had had like a terrible upbringing, well, he has, but if he'd had a worse upbringing and he kind of went off the rails a bit, that's how he would sound, which I'd take as a compliment.
Yeah.
A lot of people think Justin Bieber's got a good voice, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's rebranded himself now, hasn't he? So jump on that train.
I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit if it's not cool or not. I like his new stuff.
Dude, so do I.
Yeah.
So much so, I'm not going to deny it. I was listening to it on the way here. Because you know what it was? Yeah, it was a sunny day. Sunny day. And I thought, quite like a little bit of, you know, bit of upbeat music today. Yeah. And I like it as well, dude.
There you go. I don't give a shit if people think it's cool or not. I like it.
Like. Get on that, man. Get on the tweet thing and say,
there's something I was going to ask later on, but conveniently this is going to work in quite well. On the very video in the comments section, so I want to ask you, who usually replies to the comments?
Depends what it's on.
Yeah.
So I wanted clarification on something because it made me laugh when I was reading them. So someone had put, so good, just had to dry myself off after watching. And then someone from Narc replied saying, next time we shall both wet and dry you at your convenience.
That'll be Joe. I think that was Joe, yeah. He's had a long time doing nothing for the past few months, hasn't he? So.
Oh, God, everything must be going around his brain. So,
yeah, he does like, he talks for England, so...
Is that the guitarist you were talking mentioned before? Yeah. I have that disease as well. Yeah. I don't shut the hell up.
If you go on the Twitter, that's like just the ramblings of Joe.
There's a lot of ramblings.
Yeah.
Does like to talk randomly, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, yeah. He gets. He hates everything, and he likes telling people that he hates everything.
Just like me. Yeah. I could do that all day.
People listen
well.
To this podcast, go check out Narc's Twitter and Facebook, because there's some funny posts.
It's just so speaking of which, though, like I was talking to my friend about this, and I was saying, well, what can we ask the guys? And I thought this would be kind of like an interesting one, perhaps. When you get a good review, obviously you're happy. But if you were to get a bad review, for example, like any band might do, how would you react to that? Do you take it as inspiration or motivation, or do you just like go, fuck it, like move on?
I don't know, like we were saying, like we said briefly before, didn't we, like we've had we've not like not been bigger, we've not had really many bad reviews, to be honest.
That's
like,
a great start.
Yeah, it's
we've had like, but we have had like, we've had a couple which have been like, sort of like, yeah, it's alright.
Yeah.
And then we've had two from the same guy from like a year apart for like Leeds Music Scene. The only two reviews we've got on Leeds Music Scene as well, which is shit. And he's just basically gone like, I don't get it. Like, the songs aren't very good. And then at the end of it, he's gone, each on both of them, he's gone like, yeah, they just don't really dress like they sound. And
what?
And instantly, like, no matter what he's put before, like, if you start basing a review on how someone fucking looks, then, like, you instantly kind of lose a bit of credibility.
He did like the look of you, though, didn't he?
He fancied me, yeah. Androgynous man boy.
Yeah. Androgynous man boy.
Sex on legs, Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Does it bother you, though? Like, criticism?
No. Not really,
that much, no.
Nah.
Honestly, man, I probably would have done sort of maybe a few years ago when you first start out and stuff, but like I don't really give a shit.
I think you should embrace it. But if we ever got if we ever got hate mail, I'd put on some sad music and I'd just read it out sincerely and be like, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
I mean,
the things that annoy me more, the advice people give you after gigs, like you've asked for it.
Oh,
like,
right,
so like,
yeah.
So like you play some gigs and you'll get like sort of like older blokes who are like in the crowd and going like, oh, it's class, but you should maybe play a cover or something like that. And then like, they had that one guy in Tunbridge as well. He's like, oh, like great gig, lads, but you need to work on the end of your songs a bit.
Like, we were just got a smile and nod.
We were halfway through a conversation with like a group of people that had driven like 2 hours to see us, had to drive 2 hours back, and we'd like proper like having a nice chat with him, like, and then he just butted in and was just like, yeah, you just need to change the end of your songs. I'm just like, I don't give a shit about your opinion in that sense.
Did
like,
you tell him that?
Well, no, I just went cheers. That was it, like, nice one. Yeah. One of the, like, the privileges you have of kind of being in a band is you do get to meet loads of people. Like, it's kind of, and I really like that. I kind of like going to new places and meeting new people, and like whether they're in bands or whether just people that are watching the gig.
Have you had like, any weird fan experiences or like epically funny tour stories so far that you think, you know what, I like that town or that bird or that guy was really, really weird? Do you know what I mean?
There's a guy in London years ago that. The guy from The Good Ship.
The Monopoly man?
No, the other guy. With the cameras and the t-shirt, football t-shirt.
What happened?
He was just I can't remember anything about it. Did he just turn up at the gig on his own?
Well, I mean, it was a few years ago now, but we travelled down to London. I think it's before I joined the band.
Yeah.
They'd played in London and had a really good gig on a Wednesday night. And then we went back again, like, 6 months later, thinking it would be the same, but it was. We got there after about five hours, and there was nobody there. And the guy on the door was still trying to charge like something ridiculous, like £7 in,
right,
to see a load of bands from out of town that nobody'd ever heard of.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to come in. So the only people that were there were the bands. One of them was just crazy, that Linda Landers band.
Yeah.
But there was an old guy who looked like the Monopoly man. He's wearing like a full three-piece suit with a bowler hat and a monocle and like.
Fuck.
He stood at the back.
Did he have a cane?
I don't think he had a cane, but he looked.
He definitely had a monocle and a hat.
Yeah. What more do you need?
He stood at the back drinking like a pint of bitter, and then there was another guy, the only other person in the audience, and he was a crazy guy. He was wearing a Plymouth Argyle football shirt. He had about three cameras around his neck.
Smelled really bad.
Yeah, he smelled really bad.
Oh dear.
And he just like headbanged through all the sets by himself.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've been in meetings all day.
Yeah. He hadn't been in meetings. Job centre meetings or something.
Meeting was with his invisible friends.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you'll ever get to that point where when you're inundated with hordes and hordes and hordes of fans that you'd be like, too busy?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Not a chance.
Because no. I think regardless of how famous you can get, I think you should always give opportunity and time to your fans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't know, and he's a maniac from what I hear. Mm. No, he is a maniac. Tom Cruise, right? He's a bit doolally.
Yeah.
But apparently, he stays out at all the premieres and signs every single autograph right until the end, which is fair play to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I always think if bands make it, they should always give something back.
Yeah, I think it's the least you can do, really, isn't it? It's kind of...
If you get to that point where you are living off doing what you love doing because other people have invested in you, then if you weren't to kind of acknowledge that and give them time, then that would make you a bit of a dick, really.
But at the same time, you've also got to think, like, obviously at that level, band-wise, the kind of touring schedule that you got...
True, yeah.
All you're seeing is, like, a dressing room. You're travelling, and then you see your dressing room, and it's like, you need to recover, you need to have some space, you know what I mean?
That is true. I think that if you're going from airport to airport and hotel to hotel, it would get very, very sort of like exhausting, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean,
that's not like... I mean, our situation is we turn up a venue and we've got like 4 or 5 hours to kill before we actually play.
Yeah.
And we just hang around.
And we're not a particularly like professional outfit when we turn up to places. No. We're happy with like a crate of beer and a bit of water.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
We've just kind of like started working with a booking agent sort of in the past few months, and we had to sort of send through a rider of what we wanted. They said, "What do you want as like a generic rider that we send out to all these venues for you?" And we pretty much said that. We were like,
"Some beer,
crate of beer, crate of water, like a few snacks,
a few ham sandwiches."
And like, we didn't even get that far. We were happy with that, really. And then they were just like, "Right, okay, well, we'll probably ask for a bit more." So they sent through this template what they would like. So sent like a crate of beer, a crate of water, snacks and dips, sandwiches before the show. Vegetarian option, then for after the show, a warm nutritious meal.
Warm nutritious meal
up to six people. Yeah.
Wow.
And if you can't provide the meal, then a voucher for 10 or like 10, 15 quid per head.
So they can that's amazing. Up.
And it's like, well, yeah, but we kind of like, we've never asked for anything before, so we're kind of like, we're asking for a warm.
Or did you feel a bit greedy when?
Feel like a bit pretentious. I mean, this booking agency that we're using, like, that's just the generic thing of like. Touring bands, they ask for that stuff.
Yeah,
but I mean, for
that's
us,
class, that,
yeah, for yeah. us, that's like way more than we've ever had. Do you mean?
Are these the guys that are getting you on a lot of these festivals this year?
Yeah,
so you're playing quite a few festivals this year, aren't you?
I will.
Live at Leeds is the next one coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, when Live at Leeds. End of this Monday, so April 30th.
You played it before? I've never been.
It's really
played
good.
It, yeah, played it 2 years ago. Not the year before. The year before that one, played it.
At the Brudenell Social Club, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we played last time we played it in the games room, but this time we're playing in the
main room. Oh, the games room's a small little one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
good then.
So yeah, basically, as I understand, it's like it's across several venues, isn't it?
Yeah.
You buy a wristband and then you've got access for the whole day at like.
Oh, just day, like yeah. Slam Dunk and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like tram lines as well.
You're playing tram lines as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
We're playing Handmade Festival in Leicester, which is the day after Live at Leeds, which is pretty much Live at Leeds, but in Leicester, same kind of thing.
Sweet,
yeah. Nice.
Sweet.
Which should be cool. 2000 Trees, yeah.
Yeah, that's in the Cotswolds. I think that's
in July.
Yeah.
It's in Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not far from where I live. I'm going to it.
All right, oh, nice.
Probably come see you guys. I'll definitely come see you guys.
Yeah, class.
Yeah, we've decided that's our festival of the year to go to.
Nice, it's a sick lineup. Yeah. Which festival are you looking forward to the most to play?
I don't know. They're all different because it...
Hopefully none of them listen so you can give a true answer.
Well, I see.
Live at Leeds... I don't know, are they Live at Leeds or 2000 Trees? Because I've never been to 2000 Trees.
I'm quite looking forward to 2000 Trees just because it'll be... All the festivals are kind of sort of like inner city ones mainly, apart from a couple, I think.
Yeah.
I think 2000 Trees is the first one we play where...
Outdoors.
It's all outdoors and stuff. Yeah, which would be cool.
It's pretty impressive who they've got on the actual sort of like lineup though.
I would say,
do you know what I mean?
It's a cool bill. Like it seems like a...
Twin Atlantic, Refused, Neck Deep, pretty big bands.
Yeah,
maybe some you've got some pretty good company there, man. You know, what I mean?
Know.
I'm well impressed.
We've got like
at Ultrafest, you got Dizzy Rascal, didn't you?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'd say Dizzy Rascal.
And you got Rat Boy.
Live at Leeds. Yeah. Quite a few Live at Leeds I like to see.
Do you ever sort of like if you see a band that you, so for example 2000 Trees, do you want to see anybody in particular? Like any band that you think?
I've not really had a look at the lineups yet. There's not many where I kind of have gone well in advance and gone like, oh, who else is playing?
Yeah. But if you saw a band that you liked, for example, or you kind of like, you kind of think, oh, they're pretty sweet. Would you go over and say, "What's up? I'm playing with you," or would you be like, just ignore them. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'd go and watch them. I don't know if we'd go and talk. It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Just
we're not in that situation, really, yet, where you kind of see someone who's there.
2,000 trees, you might be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Go and talk to animals as
I mean, we did Leeds and Reading last year, but... And there was loads of bands you kind of see, which you... Like big bands were like, I love the Maccabees.
Yeah.
And they were just like walking around backstage.
Nice.
But they were doing interviews, and I was thinking, like, I'd kind of like to go and say hello. But then it's also like, what do I say? Because I'm like, we're just some little scraggins from Leeds, and these guys have sort of been on top of the game for the past over long. It's like, how do you even start the conversation? I mean, but then I suppose it's just like you just would start a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
And then I would never walk up to someone random and just start
you might
a conversation.
Get
really
nervous and be like, hello!
Hi.
bye. going back to other things about you, did you say to us earlier you finished writing your second album now?
We've wrote it, we've recorded it. It's like in the process of being like, we're releasing it on vinyl, so it's in the process of that being pressed.
Does it have a name?
It does have a name. It's
called. Say the name.
Yeah, are we allowed to say the name?
I don't know. We haven't announced anything.
We haven't announced it yet.
Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
No. It's not me saying this, but if we say it, we're not meant to do. We'll get a slap on the wrist.
That's cool, but it's got Pig on it, right?
Yeah.
Has it got anything else that's on the internet on there?
It's not yet. No.
So it's 10. How many tracks is it?
11.
11. So it's 10 new tracks.
Yeah. So there'll be two tracks coming out before we release it. Two more tracks, and then there'll be one after, which we've decided on. But we'll probably put a couple out after that as well.
Do you think Pig to date is your best work?
I don't know really. It's hard to.
It's kind of like the album is more in the style of Pig than any of the other stuff that we put out before.
Yeah,
sure. We weren't really sure Pig was even going to go on the album, to be honest. We just had it there ready to put out while we were still.
I was a kind of
writing a new album. Yeah, we've had that recorded for about almost a year before we released it, just because we kind of forgot about it. We weren't even sure we were going to put it on, and then
there's some live videos on YouTube, isn't there? Early last year, I think I saw.
Yeah, and the guy who did the video, we're like, will you do as a video? Like one of our mates, and he kind of did it. And as soon as he did it, he just kind of brought it to life, and we're like, shit, we need to put this on. This is like one of the better ones. So.
Nice.
But we've got a habit of falling out of songs quite quickly as well. So we'll write them, and as soon as they're done, we're just like, yeah, bored of that.
Just set out to like write X amount of tracks, or do you just go with it? Do you know what I mean? Because some people's writing process, I've learned, is kind of like, it's very, very precise. So do you just go into the studio, formulate some ideas, and then just go with it? Or
we've got a little practice room where we're based at the minute, which is just, so we pay for that monthly, and it's kind of our storage space as well, which is good because it's pretty much 24-hour access for us.
Aye.
But we tend to just like band about, like throw a few ideas around, and then we'll sort of stick to something, and we kind of know what each other are good at in a sense now, so it's not too hard to kind of get the basis of it down. With the album we've just done, we had about probably five tracks that weren't finished before we kind of got in. They weren't like written fully lyrically or like structurally, and so we kind of just it was different to the last album because we kind of put that out.
Yeah, that was well rehearsed.
Well rehearsed. Recorded it within 2 days, and this one we kind of went in with no idea of what we were going to do on some of them. So it was a bit more like creative in the studio, like
organic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did it work? So it worked out quite well.
I think so. Yeah, it was good.
You've
fun.
Got more freedom, haven't you?
Yeah, and it was class because the guy who's produced it called Ed.
Ed Heaton.
Yeah. And he's an absolute. He lectures here, doesn't he? He doesn't. I'm sure he lectures here.
I think he does.
Yeah. But he's an absolute dude. Like, we fucking love it a bit. And it was like he kind of made it like what it is because he loved it so much, and he was kind of like so enthusiastic about it.
Well, that's a great start, isn't it?
It really was. I mean, like, we more than anything, he's a mate, really. And it's kind of just, it just happens to really, really like doing what he's doing, and they love doing the album. So it was kind of, it was nice. He was like, he had as much input as we did in terms of the writing sometimes.
I think the amount of time as well that he let us record, because a lot of it was, he's got a basement studio, so a lot of it was like, you can only do like vocals and guitar overdubs and that down there. But once we'd done the initial like days in the proper studios, he kind of let us just have free reign. Like, a lot of producers would be like, strict deadline, and then if it goes over, you're going to have to pay more, or you have to just call it a day. But kind of Ed let us have the freedom to go, if you need another week on that song, just carry on. And then just kind of, It went on and on and on, didn't it? We kind of had to say at the end, like, when it stopped now. Otherwise, we'd just carry on recording for
a lot of the time. It was me and Joe would go in to do the vocal stuff because we tend to do like the most of the sort of lyric writing and stuff. And we would go in and we would sort of spend an evening doing a track, but an hour of it would be spent like singing, and then like 2.5 hours of it would be spent watching like YouTube clips of Toast of London. That's pretty much it.
But that's pretty fucking sound of him to say that to you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to sort of be like, yeah. But I suppose, no, I mean, I would prefer that because pressure can make people react in different ways, do you know what I mean? So obviously it's worked with you guys. And do you have a date for it yet? Or do you not know?
For a month?
Ballpark figure?
It's in July,
July?
I'm not sure when the actual release date is, but it will be. I think it's going to be in July by the looks of it. Yeah, it'd be good to get it out. We've written 3 more songs already for like since the album, so we basically wanted to get like keep writing and while we're in a bit of flow and just get on to like doing the next one, to be honest.
I presume there's going to be some sort of tour off the back of the album as well.
I think it'll probably be after summer in a sense, though, because we've got all these festival things coming up.
That's true.
And then I think we'll probably look to do something in September, October time.
For anybody who's come to see you at the festivals, do you think you'll be playing a lot of the stuff off the new album in your set?
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a mix, I think. Yeah. There's a couple from like the first album that we still play, 2 or 3 of them, and then RHS released that sort of in between albums, so we still do that one a bit, and then mainly new stuff, I reckon.
Sweet. So you got Live at Leeds on the 30th of April. Is it Handmade the day after in Leicester? I don't know when the other festival.
2000 Trees, I think, is 5, 6, 7 of July or something like that. Which we'll
might
see
coincide
then
with your album release.
Because it'll be early July, the album.
Oh yeah, so it'll be 7th, 8th, and 9th of July is the festival. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man. Yeah.
There's a little bit that I wanted to ask you, which I mentioned to you earlier. I want to have some sort of vault where bands come in and they just rant at me about something they hate in the music industry. Anything you want, and then I'm just going to lock it away and it's figuratively going to disappear. So is there anything in the music industry that you as a band have found that you despise that you want to change?
I can get you started. I'd love to put Bono in there.
Yeah.
and just leave him there forever. Do you know what I mean?
But what about all that charitable work he doesn't do or does do?
Look, man, he wants recognition all the time for his charitable work. If he was that much of a good guy, he wouldn't be on all these, you know, sort of shows going, do you know what, I saved all these... He's not speaking like that, but you know what I mean? Like, he saved all the people and all that kind of stuff. But he's in there, so you know what I mean?
We should probably pick something serious, like lack of like female artists on the Reading Leeds bill, but
that's a good one.
I would say, you know, in a Guns N' Roses or another band like that, when they stop the set and they like introduce every band member and they all do an individual solo, you have a bass solo, which nobody ever wants to hear a bass solo, you have a guitar solo, another guitar solo, drum solo, keyboard solo, I'd
milking it to fuck,
ban that. Yeah. Completely.
I'm totally for that.
I'm trying to think. I can't. Well, it's going to stop my head. We've talked about it. I don't like people that are just knobheads.
Just knobheads in the music industry.
Just people who are kind of so up their own arse when like really, just people who kind of who, because they're in a band, suddenly get this fucking thing about them that they've got something that other people don't have, or they're kind of better than other people.
Like headline bands that don't let you touch any of their backline equipment if you've forgot something small or something like that.
Well, yeah. But, I
always used to hate that.
It depends, because if some headline bands, like if there's bands who've kind of got really, really expensive equipment, they do it as a living, whatever, and you don't want you to touch your
shit.
That's
true.
I'm like, that's fair enough. That is kind of your livelihood.
Or when they lock themselves away and don't speak to anyone else.
Yeah, that's a bit shit. And it's just, I don't know, just pretentious fuckers, really. I don't know.
They are both very valid, I think.
I think my brother's like a theatre director, and he says exactly the same thing. He says there's no reason for someone who's an artist to like be a prick. There's literally no reason for it.
I totally agree with you, man. Like, I hate people with no manners, just generally. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I get annoyed when people take it really personally if someone criticises the music. That annoys me a bit as well, because like, as much as like it is a personal thing, you kind of, it is personal to you, just because someone doesn't like your music doesn't mean they're calling you a dick. People who can't take criticism on it, that annoys me a little bit. Like, it's just, it's music, isn't it? It's subjective.
Yeah, and you'll find a lot of the higher end reviewers tend to only say nice things because they're being paid to say nice things, because the people they're reviewing can't take a bad review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens a lot, I think. Well, there's a few little more things. I've got a few quick questions for you. Baby metal?
Don't know what baby metal is.
I think I know. I think there's somebody at my work who listens to them.
You've never
heard of Japanese?
So basically, baby metal are this. They're this trio of Japanese young girls who are fronting a metal band. And they are massive in the metal scene. But there's a lot of debate. And when I say massive, they're either loved or hated.
Okay,
do you know what I mean? So I was like, let's just ask bands what they think of baby metal, because my friend, for example, Ricardo, hates them because he can't understand it. It's just Japanese.
They're like quite young girls. They've got to be like 15. They do these dance moves, sound like children singing these songs behind a metal band. You gotta check them out. It's something else.
It sounds terrible to me, but I'd let it go and watch it.
That's what I'm talking about. Because you know what it is? It's not about the music. It's about their performance. That's what their USP is. So they go out.
Do they make it in any way like kind of as a sexual thing, or is it all just kind
no,
of
no, no they're too no, young no. for that, I think.
So they're not flaunting that. They're not like the record producer.
But they're in the school uniforms, like a lot of Angus people Young. Envision.
Yeah, a bit of that.
It's very weird. I think it's just the novelty.
Right, okay.
Pineapple on pizza?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm a pineapple.
Ha ha ha. Kieran doesn't like it.
The first two questions are my questions, and the first one's fine, but there's something inherently wrong with pineapple.
No, there isn't. It's lovely.
And I'm campaigning to get it banned.
It's 3-on-1, so...
If you don't like it, just don't order it.
I'll pick it off.
It's scientifically proven. It's like honey roast ham. It's caramelization and pork.
But you're a vegetarian, so it's a moot point.
Why?
Because ham.
I know what it tastes like. I remember eating it.
Sorry, lads. Pineapple pizza will be banned.
Well, you've lost. You have to choose one of these. Kanye or Trump?
Kanye.
Mainly for that thing what you said to George Bush, about George Bush when he was on.
Oh, Planet. Yeah. That was like, mental. Yeah, it was after Hurricane Katrina, wasn't it?
Yeah. I met Kanye West's manager.
Really?
He's like some like sort of middle aged, fat American white bloke.
Nice.
And he's like just like with really like expensive trainers on. And he was just like, I just chatted to him and he was like, oh, how do you know everyone? I was like, and he was like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm mates with some guys over there. I was like, how do you know everyone? I was like, oh, I'm mates with these guys' manager. Like, do you manage anyone in particular? Yeah, Kanye West.
What did you say then?
I was like, yeah, I got like 2,000 likes on Facebook.
Boom, in your face.
Yeah.
And one question that I want to ask, finally, because we won't keep you any longer, is, given the opportunity, would you and the boys sell out, in inverted commas?
I don't know.
See, what we were talking about this before. What does sellout actually mean?
I see it as going against your morals for the reasons you started the band in the first place.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No.
So if you offered a buckload of money or a shitload of money to do something that was a little bit against your credibility, do you know what I mean?
No. I think it'd be too...
Would you feel dirty if you did?
Yeah, but I don't really think... I don't know. I couldn't really...
I think it's only ever short-lived anyway. Like, no matter how much money they offer you, you're going to be like yesterday's news in like a few months.
That's the way it is these days.
It happens so many times, doesn't it? Like, you see bands.
Yeah.
And they'll follow the money, but then it's like a year later, they've had one album and they're gone. Do you mean? It's not even worth it at all.
I agree with you, man.
So it is an unequivocal no.
I think it is a no, yes.
Nice one.
Or a happy medium.
See, I think it depends what's been asked of you.
Yeah, this is true. Like, to change your sound to make it more, say, chart musically.
No, I won't do that. No.
That's good. I like that. Because some people would be inclined just to change the sound to sell records, in inverted commas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would take advice probably off someone, but nothing like to the point where like they're sort of making you change something that is you, basically.
Yeah.
I would happily listen to someone's advice if they think this will sound better if you do it this way or something like that. I suppose that's not selling out, that's just advice.
But it's such like such a saturated market thing, because I mean there's countless thousands of bands all with the same sound with the same goals, trying to break through, and it's just utterly pointless, isn't it? I mean, you're better off just sticking to what you actually want to do. And then if it goes anywhere, if it doesn't, then at least
we hope you guys do because we really like what you do.
Yeah, so I really do. And one thing I want to elaborate on that is that a lot of bands that I like, for example, were on indie labels, for example, and then they got signed to a major and they had no control over anything. So they went back to a major, right? Sorry, they went back to an indie. So this is the whole point about selling out. So like you're saying, John, like, you're just amongst it all, aren't you? And you can't really, when you're at a major, you have less control, and you may have like the sort of like image that you are, you've made it, but you're not really creativity is not really up to you in some ways. So
I'll struggle with that. I wouldn't be able to do that. That'd be, if all the creativity got taken out of the songwriting and stuff like that, then that'd be pointless being in the band.
Just kind of like what happened to Kings of Leon at one point, wasn't
it's
it?
Second fucking job. God, don't get me started on
them. But they were my favourite
band like forever until like they just turned into absolute dog shit.
That we could go on about that for a while, but I think we might have to cut it a bit short because time is stretched. So we usually have a band play us out this week, and I believe we're having your song Pig playing us out this week, aren't we? So it's going to be on your new album in July.
It is.
Which we're not allowed to know the name for.
I'll tell you after.
So, this has been a pleasure. Thank you very much, guys, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll see you at 2000 Trees. Mm-hmm. And maybe in a year or year and a half's time, we'll be back in here when we've all made it with our Bentleys and whatnot and meeting Kanye West. But very, very happy to have you here. Love the track. Very much looking forward to the album. And I would like to say good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, so this is our track Pig by the band Narcs of Leeds fame. Enjoy it.
Thanks.